Chapter 42. Before the Stone of Tyr.
"We don't know the names of the women who were in Grendel's palace,"
Luz Theron said.
"We can't add them to the list."
Rand tried to ignore the madman. That proved impossible. Luz Theron continued.
"How can we continue the list if we don't know the names? In war we sought out the maidens who had fallen. We found every one. The list is flawed. I can't continue."
"It's not your list," Rand growled. "It's mine, Luz Theron. Mine."
"No,"
the madman sputtered.
"Who are you? It's mine. I made it. I can't continue now that they're dead. Oh, light. Balefire? Why did we use balefire? I promised that I would never do that again."
Rand squeezed his eyes shut, holding tightly to Tadashar's reins. The warhorse picked his way down the street. The hooves hit packed earth one after another.
"What have we become?"
Luz Theron whispered.
"We're going to do it again, aren't we? Kill them all. Everyone we've loved. Again, again, again."
"Again and again," Rand whispered. "It doesn't matter as long as the world survives. They cursed me before, swore at Dragon Mountain by my name, but they lived. We're here ready to fight, again and again."
"Rand?" Min asked. He opened his eyes. She rode her dun mare next to Tadashar. He couldn't let her or any of them see him slipping. They mustn't know how close he was to collapsing.
"So many names we don't know,"
Luz Theron whispered.
"So many dead by our hand."
And it was just the beginning.
"I'm well, Min," he said. "I was thinking."
"About the people?" Min asked.
The wooden walks of Bandar Eben were filled with people. Rand no longer saw the colors of their clothing. He saw how worn that clothing was. He saw the rips in the magnificent fabric, the threadbare patches, the dirt and the stains. Virtually everyone in Bandar Eben was a refugee of one sort or another. They watched him with haunted eyes. Each time he'd conquered a kingdom before, he'd left it better than when he'd arrived. Rand had removed forsaken tyrants, brought an end to warfare and sieges. He'd cast out Shido invaders. He'd delivered food. He'd created stability. Each land he'd destroyed had essentially been saved at the same time. Arad Daman was different. He'd brought in food, but that food had drawn even more refugees, straining his supplies. Not only had he failed to give them peace with the Seanchan, he had appropriated their only troops and sent them up to watch the borderlands. The seas were still unsafe. The tiny Seanchan Empress hadn't trusted him. She would continue her attacks, perhaps double them. The Dumani would be trampled beneath the hooves of war, crushed between the invading Trollocs to the north and the Seanchan to the south. And Rand was leaving them. Somehow the people realized that, and it was very hard for Rand to look at them. Their hungry eyes accused him. Why bring hope, then let it dry up like a newly dug well during a drought? Why force us to accept you as our ruler, only to abandon us? Flynn and Naif had ridden before him. He could see their black coats ahead as they sat their horses watching Rand's procession approach the city square. The pins sparkled on their high collars. The fountain in the square still flowed among gleaming copper horses, leaping from copper waves. Which of those silent Dumani continued to shine the fountain when no king ruled and half the merchant council was lost? Rand Zayil hadn't been able to track down enough of the council to form a majority. He suspected that Grendel had killed or captured enough of them to keep a new king from ever being chosen. If any of the merchant council members had been pretty enough, they'd have joined the ranks of her pets, which meant that Rand had killed them.
"Ah,"
Luz Theron said.
"Names I can add to the list, yes."
Bashir rode up beside Rand, knuckling his mustaches, looking thoughtful.
"Your will is done," he said.
"Lady Chadmar?" Rand asked.
"Returned to her mansion," Bashir said. "We've done the same with the other four members of the merchant council the Aiel were holding near the city."
"They understand what they are to do."
"Yes," Bashir said, sighing.
But I don't think they'll do it. If you ask me, the moment we're gone, they'll bolt from the city like thieves fleeing a prison once the guards leave.
Rand gave no reaction. He'd ordered the Merchant Council to choose new members, then pick a king. But Bashir was probably right. Already Rand had reports from the other cities along the coast where he'd told Azael to withdraw. The city leaders were vanishing, running before the presumed Shonchan assault. Ar-Daman as a kingdom was finished. Like a table laden with too much weight, it would soon collapse.
It is not my problem, Rand thought, not looking at the people. I did everything I could.
That wasn't true. Though he'd wanted to help the Damani, his real reasons for coming had been to deal with the Shonchan, to find out what had happened to the king, and to track down Graindal, not to mention to secure what he could of the borderlands.
What news from Iteralda? Rand asked.
Nothing good, I'm afraid, Bashir said grimly. He's had skirmishes with Trollocs, but you knew that already. The Shadowspawn always withdraw quickly, but he warns that something is gathering. His scouts catch glimpses of forces large enough to overrun him. If the Trollocs are gathering there, then they're likely gathering elsewhere as well. Particularly the Gap.
Curse those borderlanders, Rand thought. I will have to do something about them. Soon.
Reaching the square, he reined in Tadaishar and nodded to Flynn and Knave. At his signal, they each opened a large gateway in the city square. Rand had wanted to leave directly from Lady Chadmar's mansion grounds, but that would have been to vanish like a thief, there one day and gone the next. He would at least let the people see that he was leaving and know that they had been left to themselves. They lined the boardwalks, much as they had when Rand had first entered the city. If possible, they were more quiet now than they had been. Women in their sleek gowns, men in colorful coats and ruffled sleeves beneath. There were many without the coppery skin of the Damani. Rand had lured so many to the city with promises of food.
Time to go.
He approached one of the gateways, but a voice called out.
Lord Dragon!
The voice was easy to hear, since the crowds were so silent. Rand turned in his saddle, seeking out the source of the voice. A willowy man in a red Damani coat, buttoned at the waist, open in a V up the front, with a ruffled shirt beneath. His golden earrings sparkled as he elbowed his way through the crowd. The Aiel intercepted him, but Rand recognized him as one of the dockmasters. Rand nodded for the Aiel to let the man, Irelin was his name, approach. Irelin hurried up to Tadaishar. He was uncharacteristically clean-shaven for a Damani man, and his eyes were shadowed from lack of sleep.
"My Lord Dragon," the man said in a hushed voice, standing beside Rand's horse. "The food. It is spoiled."
"What food?" Rand asked.
"All of it," the man said, voice taut. "Every barrel, every sack, every bit in our stores and in the sea folk ships. My lord, it's not just full of weevils. It's grown black and bitter, and it makes men sick to eat it."
"All of it?" he repeated, shocked.
"Everything," Iberlin said softly. "Hundreds upon hundreds of barrels. It happened suddenly in the blink of an eye. One moment it was good, the next moment... My lord, so many people have come to the city because they heard we had food. Now we have nothing. What will we do?"
Rand closed his eyes.
"My lord?"
Irelin asked. Rand opened his eyes and kicked Tadaishar into motion. He left the dockmaster behind, mouth open, and passed through the gateway. There was nothing more Rand could do. Nothing more he would do. He put the coming starvation out of his mind. It was shocking how easy that was. Bandar Eben vanished. Those two silent people vanished. The moment he passed through the gateway, cheers exploded from the waiting crowds. It was so shocking, such a contrast, that Rand pulled Tadaishar up short, stunned. Tear spread before him. This was one of the great cities, massive and sprawling, and the gateways opened directly into Feaster's Run, one of the main city squares. A short rank of Ashaman saluted with fists to chests. Rand had sent them on earlier in the morning to prepare the city for his arrival and clear the square for gateways. The people continued their cheers. Thousands had gathered, and banners of light flapped atop dozens of poles held aloft by the crowd. The adulation hit Rand like a wave of reproach. He didn't deserve such praise, not after what he had done in Arad-Daman. "Must keep moving," he thought, kicking Tidaishar into motion again. The horse's hooves fell on flagstones here, rather than rain-dampened dirt. Bandar Eben was a large city, but Tyr was something else entirely. Streets snaked across the landscape, lined with buildings that most country folk would have called cramped, but that were ordinary to the Tyrans. Many of the peaked slate or tile roofs had men or boys perched on their edges, hoping for a better view of the Lord Dragon. The building stones were a lighter hue here than they had been in Bandar Eben, and they were the preferred building material. Perhaps that was because of the fortress that loomed above the city. The Stone of Tyr, it was called, a relic of a previous age, still impressive. Rand trotted forward, Min and Bashir still riding nearby. Those crowds roared, so loud. Nearby, two flapping pendants got caught in the wind and inexplicably entangled. The men holding them aloft near the front of the crowd lowered them and tried to pull them apart, but they were knotted tight, somehow twisted that way by the wind. Rand passed them with barely any notice. He'd stopped feeling surprised at what his Taviran nature could do. Rand was surprised, however, to see so many foreigners in the crowd. That wasn't so unusual. Tyr always saw a lot of outlanders. It welcomed those who would trade spices and silks from the east, porcelain from the seas, grains or tobacco from the north, and stories from anywhere they could be gleaned. However, Rand had found that outlanders, no matter what the city, paid him less heed when he visited. This was true even when those outlanders were from another country he had conquered. When he was in Kyrian, the Kyrianin would fawn over him, but if he were in Ilion, the Kyrianin would avoid him. Perhaps they didn't like being reminded that their lord and their enemy's lord were the same man. Here, however, he had no trouble counting foreigners. Sea folk with their dark skin and their loose, bright clothing. Mirandians in their long coats and waxed mustaches. Bearded Ilioners with upturned collars. Pale-faced Kyrianin with stripes on their clothing. There were also men and women who wore simple Andoran wool. Fewer of the foreigners cheered than locals, but they were there, watchful. Bashir scanned the crowd.
"The people seem surprised," Rand found himself saying. "You've been away for a time."
Bashir knuckled his mustaches in thought.
"No doubt the rumors have flown swifter than arrows, and many an innkeeper has spun tales of your death or disappearance to encourage another round of drinks."
"Light. I seem to spend half of my life trampling down one rumor or another. When will it end?" Bashir laughed.
"When you can stop rumor itself, I'll get off my horse and ride a goat. Ha! And become one of the sea folk as well."
Rand fell silent. His followers continued to pile through the gateways. As the Saldaeans entered Tyr, nearly to a man they held their lances up straighter, their horses prancing. The Aes Sedai wouldn't be caught preening, but they did look less wilted, their ageless faces regarding the crowd with a sagacious manner. And the Aiel, their prowling steps a little less wary, their expressions less guarded, seemed more comfortable with the cheering than they had with those quiet, accusing Domani eyes. Bashir and Rand moved over to the side, Min following silently. She looked distracted. Nynaeve and Cadswain had not been in the mansion when Rand had announced his departure. What could they be up to? He doubted they were together. Those women barely tolerated being in the same room. Anyway, they would hear where he had gone, and they would find him. From this point on, Rand would be easy to locate. No more hiding in wooded manors. No more traveling alone. Not with Lan and his Malkyrie riding to the gap. There wasn't enough time left. Bashir watched the open gateways, the Aiel passing through on silent feet. This method of voyaging was becoming familiar to them.
"Are you going to tell Iteralda?" Bashir finally asked. "About your withdrawal?"
"He will hear," Rand said. "His messengers were ordered to bring reports to Bandar Eben.
They will soon discover I'm no longer there.
And if he leaves the Borderlands to resume his war against the Shan Chan?
Then he'll slow the Shan Chan down, Rand said, and keep them from nipping at my heels. That will be as good a use for him as any. Bashir eyed him.
What do you expect me to do, Bashir?
Rand asked quietly. That look was a challenge, if a subtle one, but Rand would not rise to it. His anger remained frozen. Bashir sighed.
I don't know, he said. The whole thing is a mess, and I don't see any way out of it, man. Going to war with the Shan Chan at our backs? That's as bad a position as I can think of.
I know, Rand said, looking over the city.
Tyr will be theirs by the time this is through. Probably Ilion as well.
Burn me, but we'll be lucky if they don't conquer all the way up to Andor while our backs are turned.
But
we have to assume that Iteralda will abandon his post once news of my failure reaches him. That means our next move has to be toward the Borderlander army. Whatever complaint your kinsmen have with me, it must be settled quickly. I have little patience for men who abandon their duties.
Have we done that?
Luz Theron asked.
Who have we abandoned?
Quiet, Rand growled. Go back to your tears, madman, and leave me be.
Bashir leaned back thoughtfully in his saddle. If he was thinking of Rand abandoning the Dimani, he said nothing. Finally, he shook his head.
I don't know what Tenobia is about. Could be as simple as her anger at me for leaving to follow you. Could be as difficult as a demand that you submit to the will of the Borderlander monarchs. I can't imagine what would draw her and the others away from the Blight at a time like this.
We will soon find out, Rand said. I want you to take a couple of the Ashaman and find out where Tenobia and the others are camped. Maybe we'll discover they've given up this fool's parade and turned back toward where they belong.
All right, then, Bashir said. Let me see my men settled and I'll be off.
Rand nodded sharply, then turned his mount and began to trot down the street. The people were lined up on either side, ushering him onward. The last time he had visited Tyr, he had tried to come in disguise for all the good it had done him. Anyone who saw the signs would have known he was in the city. Unusual events, banners tying themselves together, men falling from buildings and landing unharmed, were only the beginning. His Taviran effect seemed to be growing more powerful, causing increasingly greater distortions, and more dangerous ones. During his last visit, Tyr had been besieged by rebels, but the city hadn't suffered. Tyr had too much trade to be bothered by something as simple as a siege. Most people had lived as usual, barely acknowledging the rebels. Nobles could play their games as long as they didn't disrupt more honest folks. Besides, everyone had known that the stone would hold, as it almost always had. It might have been rendered obsolete by traveling, but for invaders who didn't have access to the One Power, the stone was virtually impossible to take. In and of itself, it was more massive than many cities. A gargantuan sprawl of walls, towers, and sheer fortifications, without a single seam in its rock. It included forges, warehouses, thousands of defenders, and its own fortified dock. None of that would be much use against an army of Shan Chan with Dimani and Rokkan. Crowds lined the street up to the stone verge, the large open space that surrounded the stone on three sides.
It's a killing field, Luz Theron said.
Here another crowd cheered Rand. The gates to the stone were open, and a welcoming delegation awaited him. Darlan, once a High Lord, now King of Tyr, sat astride a brilliant white stallion. Shorter than Rand by at least a head, the tyrant had a short black beard and close-cropped hair. His prominent nose kept him from being handsome, but Rand had found him very keen of mind and of honor. After all, Darlan had opposed Rand from the start rather than joining those who had hastened to worship him. A man whose allegiance was hard to win was often one whose allegiance would also be secure when he was out of your sight. Darlan bowed to Rand. Pale-faced Dobrain, dressed in a blue coat and white trousers, sat astride a roan gelding beside the king. His expression was unreadable, though Rand suspected he was still disappointed in being sent from Ara Daman so soon.
Lines of defenders of the stone stood before the wall, swords held before them, breastplates and ridged helmets shined near to glowing. Their puffy sleeves were striped with black and gold, and above them waved the banner of Tyr, a half-red, half-gold field, marked with three silver crescents. Rand could see that the square inside the wall was bursting with soldiers, many in the colors of the defenders, but many wearing no uniform beyond a strap of red and gold tied around their arms. Those would be the new recruits, the men Rand had ordered Darlin to gather. It was a display to produce awe, or perhaps to stroke a man's pride. Rand stopped Tadishar before Darlin. Unfortunately, the rooster Wireman accompanied the king, sitting his horse just behind Darlin. Wireman was so lacking in wits that Rand would barely have trusted him to work a field unsupervised, let alone command a squad of troops. True, the short man was brave, but that was likely only because he was too slow of thought to consider most dangers. As always, Wireman looked even more the fool for attempting to style himself as anything other than a buffoon. His beard was waxed, his hair was carefully arranged to hide just how much he was balding, and his clothing was rich. A coat and breeches, cut as if to be a field uniform, but no man would wear such fine cloth into battle. No man but Wireman.
I like him,
Luce Theron thought. Rand started.
You don't like anyone. He's honest,
Luce Theron replied, then laughed.
More than I am, for certain. A man doesn't choose to be an idiot, but he does choose to be loyal. We could do worse than have this man as a follower.
Rand kept his tongue. Arguing with the madman was pointless. Luce Theron made decisions without reason. At least he wasn't humming about a pretty woman again. That could be distracting. Darlin and Dobrain bowed to Rand, Wireman mimicking them. There were others behind the king, of course. Lady Caroline was a given. The slender Kyrianen was as beautiful as Rand remembered. A white opal hung on her forehead, the golden chain woven into her dark hair. Rand had to force himself to look away. She looked too much like her cousin, Moiraine. Sure enough, Luce Theron started naming off the names on the list, Moiraine at the forefront. Rand steeled himself, listening to the dead man in the back of his mind as he studied the rest of the group. All of the remaining high lords and ladies of Tyr were there, atop their own mounts. Simpering Annihila sat her bay horse beside Wireman. And was she wearing a handkerchief favor bearing his colors? Rand had thought her a little more discriminating than that. Torian had a smile on that lumpy face of his, a pity that he was still alive when far better men among the High Lords had died. Simon, Estanda, Tedosian, Hearn, all four had opposed Rand, leading the siege against the stone. Now they bowed to him. Alana was there too. Rand didn't look at her. She was sorrowful, he could tell through their bond. As well she should be.
My lord dragon, Darlin said, straightening in his saddle, thank you for sending Dobrain with your wishes.
His voice conveyed his displeasure. He'd rushed to gather an army at Rand's urgent command, and then Rand had forced him to do nothing for weeks. Well, the men would be glad for the extra weeks of training soon.
The army is ready, Darlin continued, hesitant. We are prepared to leave for Ar-Daman.
Rand nodded. He'd originally intended to set Darlin in Ar-Daman so he could pull Aiel and Ashaman out for placement elsewhere. He turned, glancing back at the crowds, absently realizing why there were so many foreigners among them. Many of the nationals had been recruited for the army, and now stood in ranks inside the stone. Perhaps the people in the square and on the streets hadn't been there to cheer Rand's arrival. Perhaps they thought they were cheering their departing armies off to victory.
You have done well, King Darlin, Rand said. It's about time someone in Tyr learned to obey orders. I know your men are impatient, but they will have to wait a short time longer. Make rooms for me in the stone and see to quartering Bashir's soldiers in the Aiel.
Darlin's confusion deepened.
Very well. Are we not needed in Ar-Daman, then?
What Ar-Daman needs, nobody can give, Rand said. Your forces will be coming with me.
Of course, my lord.
And where will we be marching? To Sheol Ghul.